Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con,
and we're super excited about this one.
It's another Indiana one. This one is Pop Con, Indie Pop Con to be exact, and it's going to be in Indianapolis again at the Convention Center,
Indiana Convention Center,
right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, and Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational show!
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
What's up?
Yes. And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting.
Don't forget to check out our social media after the show, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I need to get more creative. I'm running out of goofy things to say every time you announce me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to ponder that. Start making a list or something.
Something.
You know?
Yeah, maybe get a catchphrase. I don't know.
Yeah.
Work some catchphrases up.
There you go. A catchphrase.
So, Pixie Dusters, we are finishing up March. How are we finishing up March? How?
I don't know.
Thankfully, in real time, it's not March. We're still in February.
Thank goodness.
Because that would be too weird if we're already in March. But anyways, we are finishing up Marvel March with the new TV show, Echo. That is on Disney Plus. I am forewarning you, as most of you already probably know, I did not watch any of it. So I will be reactions when they say weird things and listening to, them. So take it away, Sammy.
Okay. So let's start with the summary that I stole from IMDb for the show in general. This is the origin story of Echo, which revisits Maya Lopez. You'll remember her from Hawkeye. Her ruthless behavior in New York City catches up with her in her hometown. She must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace the meaning of family and community if she ever hopes to move forward. There you go.
So that makes it sound like it's like a very wholesome show. And it's not.
I mean, in the context of community, it is.
It just has
a lot of dark stuff in it as well.
Yeah, there's some, some violence and things.
It's in
some
the same
violence. The whole trailer is there's a part in the trailer of what's his face like kicking in somebody's skull.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Wilson, good old Wilson Fisk. Yeah, he's not a stable human being.
No,
and the guy who plays him perfectly.
He's so good, Vince.
So good.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
I love him so much.
Vincent D'Onofrio, yes.
I love him in all the things he's done.
Everything. Uh-huh. Everything.
Brilliant. Absolutely.
From Edgar to Men in Black to Fisk. Everything.
He's
such a actor.
Super true. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have other people besides Vincent on the cast. And I know I'm going to mess up like a million, all of these possible names, actually, because I forgot to look up how to say them. So let's struggle through this. All right. So Alakwa Cox as Maya Lopez, a.k.a. Echo, star of the show. She's a brilliant actress, even if Ashley refused to watch it because of the violence. I will tell you, she is amazing.
I didn't refuse. I just kind of forgot.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. I know. You told us. You forgot. All right. And then Chase Spencer as Henry Black Crow Lopez. Tantu Cardinal as Chula. That's her grandmother. Charlie Cox makes a brief appearance as Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil. It's just like a flashback used from, I think, the Netflix show. So it's not new, but still,
he's not actually there.
It's still cool to see him.
Yeah, he was there for a second, you know. Devery Jacobs is Bonnie, the cousin. Zan McLaren was William Lopez. Cody Lightning, that is his real name.
Nice. I'll look this kid up.
Biscuits. he was the cousin of Maya, aka Echo. He's pretty funny. He's like a comic relief in there. Mm-hmm. Graham Greene was Scully. We already done Vincent. Katarina Zervogel is Tayo, Maya's mother. And Jeremy Renner appears briefly as Clint Barton or Ronan. Again, just a flashback. You didn't make any sort of new footage for this. They just reused old footage. Are you looking up the actor?
What's the face? His actual last name is Lightning. I thought maybe he changed his last name. You know how actors change their last name.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe that. No, he's the son of Georgina Lightning, and his sibling is Crystal Lightning. I'm like, this is actually your last name. Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool last name.
And that I assumed he was going to be a child, and he's not. Yeah. He's a year older, 2 years older than me.
Yeah, no, he's a full grown-up. He's her grown cousin that she gets in trouble with.
The name just sounds, and the name Biscuits just sounds like you're like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his this character is why I was sort watch of the show.
Yeah, well, he was sort had sort of a man childish thing going.
Yes, silly. He's very silly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so a fun character though. It's a fun character. Mm-hmm.
So, just some general trivia for the show. Our main actress, again, Alakwa Cox. I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna look it up,
please, because like I said, I did these notes very late because I got very behind this week. So, anyway, so the main actress is the first "quote unquote" disabled actress to play a leading character in Marvel Studios productions. She was born deaf, just like the character, and she has a prosthetic leg. So that was no CGI.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I honestly did not know until I read this, that was a real thing. Are you listening to how to say it?
Potentially, yes. I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. All right. I'm going to keep going while you work on that.
Yeah.
So this is the first MCU TV series to be rated TVMA, and it debuted on both Hulu and Disney Plus at the same time. So that's a unique thing with this series.
Was Daredevil and Jessica Jones not rated TVMA?
But it was on Netflix, and I guess it wasn't. I don't know. That did confuse me too, but they're saying the first MCU TV series, so I don't know what umbrella that fell under for those two. Since it was
technically part of the MCU.
I don't
even
know.
Back then.
Yeah, you know what? That's a fair point, because I read this and I was like, really? But I don't know. This is also from IMDb, so you know, take it with a grain of salt with whoever posted this, and I didn't have time to research it, so.
All right.
But yeah, good point. And this is the first series under the Marvel Spotlight banner, which is for select series that focus on more grounded, character-driven stories and less about impacting the larger MCU narrative. So I kept wondering every time I saw it, I was like, what's a Marvel Spotlight? Because it's at the beginning of all of them, and I was just like, I don't know what this is, but apparently it's for they'll be making like Daredevil down the line, so they're going to be focusing more on these types of characters, apparently. Did you figure it out?
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, she's going to listen on
that. We're all going to hear it.
So apparently it's Alakwa.
Alakwa. Alakwa Cox. Alakwa Cox. Okay, we got it. All right.
But it wouldn't let me listen to it while you guys were talking. It was just, so I had to do my phone.
Okay. Gotcha.
Alakwa.
Alacqua Cox. All right, there we go. All right. And this series was initially planned as a 6-episode miniseries until 2022, when it was announced that one episode was being dropped due to budget and writing issues. So then it just became a 5-episode series.
Oh, that's short.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that was part of my problem with it. I feel like it was just too much. Like, normally we kind of complain about Loki, where we were like, you could have cut like A, B, and C storylines and it would have been fine. We could have condensed it. But this one, I almost feel like I would have wanted another episode to kind of not rush things almost. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I will say the end, the climax did tend to wrap up a bit too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was good and it was satisfying and I still enjoyed it. Like, and it's cool because I watched it, like I started at the beginning of this week, and that fact that I didn't have to like I could, I did the whole thing in like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was nice. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, it was a bit, you know, condensed.
Yeah, that's part of what I felt like about it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So each episode, I read this somewhere and then I couldn't find where I read it, but I'm pretty sure I read that each episode is named after one of her like ancestors, with the last episode being named after Maya herself. But then I couldn't find where I read that. Mm-hmm. So that's me doing that off of memory. So episode one is Chaffa. In this episode, young Maya Lopez leaves her hometown of Tamaha, Oklahoma, following her mother's death, and moves to New York City, where Wilson Fisk raises her to be a ruthless assassin. Upon learning that Fisk had her father killed, Maya shoots him and flees. So we kind of get like some of her backstory, like origin, and then we catch up to where she was at in Hawkeye, is basically what the first episode does.
She did not do a very good job of shooting him in the first episode.
Because he didn't die.
True, yeah. But Fisk is just freaking... He's just strong.
He's a beast.
Like it's hard to kill him.
Yeah.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I was just waiting for him to show up and be like, "You shot me in the face. I don't appreciate that very much."
Literally.
She shot him in the face?
Did she say, yeah, shot him right away because
in the eye. By the
and
eye.
He still had an eye.
Yeah, so I guess it wasn't in the eye because he still had his eyeball. So I guess it was next to his eye. In the hospital.
Because he's Wilson Fisk.
That should have went into his brain and killed him.
I mean, he's Wilson Fisk. Have terrible aim. I don't know. She seems very good at killing people except for him.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. That's why I didn't watch the show.
No, it's good. Like, I liked the first episode as the setup because we saw little baby Maya and what happened with her mom. Then basically they got in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
But her grandmother blamed her father, I guess, for dragging them into whatever this like sketchiness he was involved in. Mm-hmm. So it was just like a whole family drama. So the father and Maya left, and her cousin, who she was basically like a sister to her, stayed behind with her grandmother and grandfather. And that was just like really hard on them and traumatizing. And of course, Maya being deaf, now she had to go and reacclimate herself to this new environment. So. It was interesting to see her backstory. I don't know what else you had about, if you had anything specific for this episode, Dan.
I didn't lay anything for specific episodes. Okay. I just kind of did my general thoughts. But seeing her backstory is really what kind of hooked me in the beginning. And that's probably just me. I really like intimate human dramas like that. So, I couldn't turn it off. I felt her pain from the very beginning. So
very sad. Mm-hmm. Episode 2 is called Loak. Maya enlists her disapproving family to help her take down Fisk's army while experiencing strange visions.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she starts getting tied into her ancestors because this is where the whole Native American. Ancestors coming to help her and guide her and all that starts coming into play for that episode. I can't remember anything else specific about it, to be honest with you. But I also had to work on other stuff this week because, again, I was just behind on everything. So that's probably part of my problem was I couldn't just focus on the episodes. Let's see. Do you remember anything specific about the episode that you want to talk about, Dan?
Yeah, no, that's when she returns home, and then she reconnects with the guy who runs the roller skating rink, and yeah, that's when she has the first encounter with that I forget his name, but that one redneck dude that turned out to like
right
yeah spoiler, he's the bad guy, he's one of the bad guys.
Yeah, he's not nice.
Not a very nice individual.
Mm-mm.
What else? Is that the one where she goes to meet the grandfather, where he's in the pawn shop as well, or is that the one after that?
Is it the one after that? I think it might be the next one. Yeah, I think it's in the third episode. Yeah, I don't think it's in the second one. Yeah, because the second one I think is more so, yeah, just establishing some more of the bad guys and who her connections are in the town.
Yeah, it's a lot more setup, and that is a lot more setup episode.
The strange visions, did she, like, in Native American culture, they sometimes actually take something to get visions and to connect with their ancestors. Was that the case with this, or this just kind of...
No, this just happened.
It just starts to happen.
Yeah, yep. It kind of, and that's what was sort of confusing her. Like, it would just kind of happen out of nowhere, and, you know,
no
that's...
spiritual journey that she started.
Spiritual journey, yeah, but like there was no
she initiated.
She didn't, yeah, exactly. Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
Okay. I'm just curious. I wanted to verify.
In the first episode, they do also explain that her grandmother is very connected to the ancestors. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, kind of that connection too.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Episode 3 is called Tuklo. This is where Maya learns the meaning of collateral damage when Fist's army arrives in Tamaha.
Mm-hmm. So that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, she's kind of ticked some people off.
Oh, you that's know, right. The last coming. Episode was when she blew up the train. That was the big one. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, the train did happen in the last. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she kind of, yeah, put a target.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she put a target on them. Mm-hmm.
Well, she learns the meaning of collateral damage. Does she lose family or lose people that she knows, like, as collateral damage? Or is it talking about the train?
So when she came back, everyone was trying to tell her to reconnect with her cousin, the one she was, like, really close to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she pretty much avoided her. Yeah, she had her reasons. Like, part of it was because it was too painful. Part of it was because she didn't want to involve her in what she was, what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, she ends up recruiting Biscuits to kind of help her out on this, like, secret mission or whatever. Is that the one where they hop the train?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gives her that tracker, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, she takes Biscuits, the kind of goofy one, and recruits him to help her on this mission where she hijacks the train to she can, like, implant the, you know, thing. And, yeah, so he takes his grandmother's truck and ends up just totally wrecking the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole thing.
Okay.
But long story short, her cousin finds out, and then she gets involved when she, you know, Maya didn't want her involved.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I just didn't know when it said meaning of collateral damage, like if she lost a family member already.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah. It's just now they're all getting involved in her nonsense, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. And is this, one where she was kidnapped too?
That was the next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, yeah, because I can't keep them all straight. So in episode 4, Talo, Maya finds herself at a crossroads as she faces the shadows of her past and contemplates her future. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she did end up getting caught, kidnapped. I don't know why that word just left my head. Kidnapped. And, yeah, that's a whole big thing because obviously Fisk is really coming after her.
Mm-hmm.
And her cousin is part of that, but it's really interesting. Just one thing we haven't really talked about, because she is deaf, so she signs basically the entire time. Like, that is her only really way of communicating. And they always do closed captioning, you know, to tell you what she's signing. But everybody in the show that's actually close to her signs back to her too. So I really liked that it wasn't just people talking at her for the most part, except for Fisk, but you know, they were all actually signing at her, having the full conversation. So there's times where there's not, like, you can kind of hear them whispering the dialogue, but it's not, you don't really hear any dialogue. You're just watching them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was always really interesting.
Hey.
When she's kidnapped, she uses that to her advantage because her cousin can sign to her what's going on when she's just like, what's happening? What are they talking about? You know, so that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why it kept me engaged, because it forces you to engage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it does.
Like you can't really, you know, you have to actually pay attention. Mm-hmm. And it was cool just like, you know, seeing a glimpse into this other world of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is the cousin she's close to Henry Black Crow?
No. Mm-mm. No, her
Henry
cousin.
That was the guy who owns the skating rink, right?
Okay.
I believe, yeah, that was Henry, yes.
So who's the cousin she's close to?
Bonnie? Her cousin is Bonnie. Yeah.
Bonnie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure I got it all.
Mm-hmm.
Squared away.
Yeah, Bonnie's like her sister, basically.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
For many years when they're growing up. And there's this one bit, too, when she's kidnapped by Fisk's people and they bring her to him because he really wants her to be part of his gang. He doesn't really want to be in a war with her. He wants her to join him, you know, come back. Mm-hmm. And they literally are holding her back and he just attacks her and puts this contact in her eye, which, first of all, super grossed me out. Like, just the idea of
no untouchy.
I know. I was like, no. And I get it, because what it was like a special, you know, Marvel techie contact where when he talks to her, it translates it to signs. So then there's like these like animated arms doing the signing to her.
She sees a hologram of signs.
A hologram. Yeah, that's the way to describe it. Yeah. But that really grossed me out when he did that.
Yeah, the only person touching my eyes is myself when I put my own contact.
And that wasn't like the point.
No touchy.
I know that wasn't the point. The point was you think he's gonna like try and kill her, and instead he puts a contact in her eye. But it was gross.
Okay, where else does Kingpin come up?
Daredevil, right?
Mm-hmm. Daredevil
and Hawkeye.
Hawkeye was. He wasn't in Jessica Jones, was he?
I didn't even see Jessica Jones, so I couldn't confirm.
I don't remember him in Jessica Jones, and I watched it.
Okay.
Oddly enough.
I feel like he was in something else. I can't place it, though.
Was he
maybe he was in The Punisher.
I know
he was in The Punisher.
Yeah, The Punisher. I was like, there's another one. Yeah, The Punisher,
The movie or the TV show?
The TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I haven't watched the TV show yet.
Yeah.
I watched the movie because Punisher is Brett's favorite, but I have not watched the TV show.
Thomas Jane version?
Sure.
The one that was in like 2004 with John Travolta?
Yes.
I love that movie. Filmed in my hometown.
Yes.
I think you talked about that. Yes.
Yes, because when I was watching the movie, there were some things that looked familiar to me.
It's so funny.
Every time I watch that movie, I'm like, yep, I've been there. I've been there. I've been there. I've been there.
I know exactly where this is.
But Vincent didn't play, like, was he in the first Daredevil, like the Daredevil we don't talk about?
Who, Fisk?
No, yeah.
Or Vincent as Fisk?
No, not Vincent as Fisk.
Oh.
No. No, Fisk was in that, I believe, but he was played by somebody else. I think he was played by Ving. Was it Ving Rhames?
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
Yeah. I mean, he was in it, but yeah, it wasn't the same actor.
Oh, no. It was Michael Clark.
Michael Clark. That's who it was.
Okay.
I'm like, why do I feel like I've seen a Kingpin before? I just didn't remember where.
He's been.
Oh, yeah. The Daredevil we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never saw it, but I heard it was pretty terrible.
We owned it. Travis liked it, I think. Came out in 2003.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing.
If you never knew, like, I thought it was okay when I was younger, but that was because I was not privy to Marvel Universe yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I had no clue. And mostly because I love Jennifer
Garner,
thank you. I almost said Aniston, but I'm like, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Garner as what's her face?
Elektra.
Yes, Elektra. I thought she was BA. Mm-hmm. And I actually enjoyed the Elektra movie. I still do enjoy the Elektra movie when I get it out.
The only one of those, because that was a weird time, because where they were attempting to make like darker Marvel movies after the success of Spider-Man. So yeah, they had that one, Daredevil, Elektra, and The Punisher that they all kind of made within a couple of years of each other.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I saw was The Punisher. And even then, I didn't know it was Marvel. I just thought it was a pretty cool character. It's like, oh, visual.
Right?
Like, you know, visual,
I had
you know,
no clue. Hey, this was Marvel.
I don't know
who this person is. Great.
Yeah. I knew Spider-Man was Marvel, and that was it.
Yeah.
I couldn't even told you. I'm just like, he's a superhero. I don't know.
Exactly.
Marvel didn't even like cross my path until Iron Man and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah.
I did know DC. That's the weird part. Like, I knew what DC was.
To me, comic books was just this sort of, like, broad thing. Oh, yeah, yep. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, X-Men, yep. And that's it.
Yep.
They all kind of blended together.
I agree. I was like, oh, there's a difference.
I don't know why I remember, I knew DC. Probably somebody from church. Because it wasn't anybody from school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't have any comic book people in our, I don't think anybody in our grade who liked comic books.
Not that I can recall, no.
No. Mm-mm. Unless they were a closet comic book nerd.
Could be. But I don't know.
Anyhow, sorry, I got us off track.
No, it's fine. Okay, so the only episode we really have left to reference is the last one called Maya, where the lives of Maya's family hang in the balance while Fist's army invade the Choctaw Nation powwow. So it's a big battle. Yeah, at the end. But yeah, to me, I feel like it just was too much in one episode at the end. Just too much.
It was a lot. It did kind of shove everything together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, very quick resolution.
Yeah.
So is this a one-off season or did they leave it on a cliffhanger?
I mean, there's always open. Things are always open-ended in Marvel. It didn't really leave it on a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't say that. Yeah. But
I mean, there's definitely no cliffhanger, but I mean, there's always room for more. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made more.
That's what I was thinking too. They could definitely do more.
Mm-hmm. Any movie, any TV show in the Marvel universe, like you can somehow bring somebody back and start it all over. But I didn't know if it was a definite we are leaving we want everyone to know there is going to be another season.
Yeah, no, there wasn't that. There was sort of an open-ended thing with Fisk.
Right.
Like, I don't know if we'll see that again in Echo, but
well, if Fisk is still alive, we're probably going to see him somewhere.
I know, he's very much still alive, and he has a new purpose.
And so,
what's his new purpose?
So, all right, so spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it.
He doesn't care.
He's saying it to the Disney people or the Pixie Dust.
You should know we're going to spoil everything by now.
Yeah, I should know that. Anyway, so the very last episode, basically the final showdown, they have this big battle, and when it feels like Maya's completely lost, she is able to channel the power that's been sort of communicating with her through her ancestors all the way back to the very first Choctaw woman, who prior to her were these kind of mythical beings that came to Earth. They've all been sort of communicating with her. And then when she's at her lowest, they're all immediately she's endowed with the power of all of them, including the different ancestors that we've been learning about throughout this season. You know, the different Choctaw women who have made different impacts in different periods of history, including her own mother, and we actually see them physically all kind of behind her, and they give her this epic power that she's able to share with both Bonnie and her grandmother. And they basically take out all of Wilson Fisk's men like that, pretty much. It's been a big power moment. And then when she has Fisk totally on his knees, defeated, and you think, okay, this is the moment she just melts him, fries him, he's dead, whatever. Instead of doing that, she puts her hands on his head and kind of goes into his psyche and revisits that moment that he talks about, where he was a child and he was abused and his father was abusive to his mother, and that was kind of the start of all of his rage. It's a deconstructing of his character, basically. Yes, he's a monster, he's done terrible things. At the end of the day, he's this traumatized little boy who hasn't dealt with his pain, and she basically forced him to face his pain. So it's seeing something like that. You see so many comic books where it's vengeance moment, let's take out the bad guy. It's refreshing to see a different take, to see a much deeper, more richer sort of take. And of course, he's like, what did you just do to me? He's he doesn't really know how to process that. So anyway, long story short, he gets away. He's on his private jet going back to New York or wherever. And he's got the news on, and somebody's saying about, and there's these anchors, they're talking about, oh, the New Yorker needs a new mayor, somebody who's outside the system. The people want a brawler, someone who's not afraid to take on the establishment. And that's sort of...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of gives him Mayor Fisk.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So it's going to be interesting to see kind of where that goes.
I mean, I did read some speculation.
Like, Kingpin is the next one.
I read speculation that since we cannot continue or may not continue with Kang as the big bad, that maybe Kingpin may be it. But that's just speculation.
That'd be cool. Vincent's scary enough. I'd be okay with that.
I do like that character.
Like, imagine Fisk somehow getting access to the multiverse. The resources and the technology that he has, right?
Yeah. I'm so glad this isn't all real.
Right?
Right? Pretty sketchy. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. See, this is what I do when I don't know things and don't watch it. So do we know if the ancestors that they talked about in this, like the Choctaw women that made things in or made milestones in history, are they actually like real, our time, these are very important Choctaw women in the nation's history, or do you think it's all made up?
That I don't know. I should have looked that up. I do know there was there was a lot of collaboration when it came to the story, because they made a point to say that, like, you know, thank you to the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma for our collaboration. So I don't know how much of that was real and how much of it was, you know, just a reference to
a real legend,
their culture.
So real legend. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because, like you said, they were very involved with them directly.
Yeah, it was really, that's one of the things I really enjoyed, too. Just really fascinating learning about this whole universe, this whole culture their history and legends and such. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a sucker for, you know, legends anyway. But.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I feel like there was another Choctaw sounds very familiar. I don't remember if it was another TV show that had Choctaw or if it was something I researched at one point in my life. It just sounds, I know the name Choctaw very well and I don't, it's like on the tip of my tongue.
I have no idea.
And I don't know where else I would know it. Wonder if I can find it. Most popular movies with Choctaw. None of this.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I would have to look back in my own stuff. But yeah, I know, like, I feel like I've either seen something or I've done research on it. Like when I was younger, I don't remember.
That could be.
I might be pulling from eighth grade. Remember when we had to do our Native American project?
So very well could be. Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something's unlocking in there. Mm-hmm. By midnight tonight, I'll like wake up, be like, oh,
that's what it was from. That's it.
Poor memory.
Now
unlocked.
I got it.
You'll get a message at like 12:01.
I figured it out. This is it. Oh. Well, did you have anything else, Dan, that we didn't talk about?
Where are my notes? I'm gonna say, this was kind of cool. I didn't realize that in the beginning, I didn't realize that, like, I knew she was working for the bad guys, but obviously since I'm rooting for her and I'm following her story, I didn't see Maya as the bad guy, which, I mean, she's not the bad guy, but in the very beginning, she is kind of an antagonist, right? But I'm still rooting for her. Well, not about that. But
anti-hero?
Definitely anti-hero, yeah.
That's what I mean, like an anti-hero.
Yeah. But I'm rooting for her to kind of, you know, take out all these people. And she does, because she's Maya.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, like, this, you know, these, like, you know, cable whip weapon things come out of nowhere and just take out the people that she's with. And at first I'm like, oh, great, another, you know, enemy she has to fight. And it's Daredevil. Mm-hmm. So it's cool seeing that from a different perspective, where it's like, we're so used to rooting for the, you know, the hero, Daredevil. Mm-hmm. And then here we actually get to see what Daredevil is like as a nemesis, you know? So it's like, that's the closest I'm ever going to get to experiencing the world as a Marvel bad guy.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So I don't know, it's just cool seeing that kind of perspective. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nerd out moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to the Marvel villains, the heroes are actually the villains in their minds. Yes. They're the hero and the hero is the villain. And it's interesting. Yeah.
And there's gray areas all around. We all know.
Sure is.
Nothing's actually black and white.
Interesting.
Maybe someday I'll watch this. This sound. I mean, I like the lore in it.
Yeah.
So I might put it on my list someday.
It's worth it. I mean, it's definitely worth your time.
When I'm not so marveled out.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of seeing stuff like this makes me reinvigorated for Marvel. Like, I kind of feel like, and I don't know, maybe this is just me, but I feel like a lot of the emotional and intellectual energy is being put into shows like this. Mm-hmm. It's like you're saying, the spotlight, you know,
yes,
very intimate, mm-hmm. very human dramas. Like, I don't know, that's what keeps me engaged. I mean, Loki was good, but it was cute, mm-hmm. you know. And then we talked about the movie, you know, a lot of the movies are kind of like hit or miss, you know. But like I said, with this one, I was sad when it was over. You know, like I was feeling things by the end of it.
I mean, I feel like it's Marvel, but it's not Marvel. I mean, yeah, Fisk is in it, but yeah, there's not, like, except when you see
Daredevil.
Hawkeye and Daredevil for like 0.2 seconds, and then, you know, Fisk is heavily involved, like I said. But otherwise, it's not like super Marvel. I mean, she's not out here with, like, she can't fly around or, you know, she has no superpower. She can't just like turn into a flame. She can't do anything like that. Like, it's literally just her being physical, just like Hawkeye, where there's no superpowers. I mean, the Native American part is just cool, you know, but that's more based on like real, maybe some more of like grounded. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. In terms of like superhero, you know, yeah, it's kind of, she's not really, you know, she's not an Avenger type hero, you know?
No.
But I love that though. Like, I love seeing just the on the streets, down and dirty, you know, just everyday people, you know, like Captain America, Steve Rogers, you know, Tony Stark, all that, for all intents and purposes, they're basically gods. You know, from the perspective of the people. I mean, there are these larger-than-life individuals. Yep. Whereas Maya or Daredevil or, you know, all these, you know, people, they're us. You know, they're the everyday people who experience everyday things. And they're not trying to save the world. Sometimes they're just trying to get through the day. You know, they're trying to, or they're trying to get a job, or they're trying to protect their family or whatever, you know. I think that's what kind of keeps me engaged. And like I said, those spotlight shows. But
yeah, it makes sense. And plus, you know, she's deaf. She, like we talked about, like, I'm glad they wrote into her character about the prosthetic leg she had. That just adds to it. But it's just like, again, like Daredevil, right? He's got a
blind.
A bit of an issue, right? I mean, like, it's all very cool to see some of that too. He's blind, but still, you know, like you say, BA. Maya's deaf, but it doesn't hold them back. They're still awesome, even if sometimes you question who they're fighting for, you know.
Yeah, there's that. Oh, goodness.
I have no other thoughts. I don't know about you, Dan. So you take it away.
No, that's pretty much it. My last comment was, I love the grandpa. He's great.
Oh, yeah, I did like his character.
Yeah. Grandpas are always nice.
They are.
Well, does that wrap it up for Marvel Month?
Guess so.
Yes, it does.
All right.
Yeah, we're done.
Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed another Marvel March here at the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. Again, check us out on all of our social medias. And next month, we are straying a little way from Disney. We've been doing that a little bit more often. And we are going back to the future. I'm super excited. So come back for, we're doing 3 weeks in April of Back to the Future. And then we're actually going to start Star Wars early at the end of April due to my wedding.
Yep.
We're going to skip a week. But also, April's coming up. So we are going to be at PopCon in Indiana at the end of April. I will be there with Robbie in Indianapolis. Yes. So come see us if you head out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Woohoo.
So bye, Pixie Dusters.
Bye.
So long.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.